Brothers and sisters, do we love him with a passion? Can we sing what we've sung tonight with a passion? With a deep desire and our earnest intent to love Jesus, to honour his name, to exalt him, to magnify him, to worship him, to love him. Is that the passion that's burning deep in our hearts tonight? The brothers and sisters, I want to take you to Psalm 84. It says, the blessedness of dwelling in the house of God. That's the start. The blessedness. I spoke the other day of blessed. Blessed, happy. To be envied. The blessedness of dwelling in the house of God. A psalm of longing, a song of desire, a song of hope. Happy is the man whose hope is in God. You know, we read this psalm, it's a psalm that captivated David's heart because he knew his God. This says, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrows found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, the holy place, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools that go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen. You know, this psalm divides itself into three equal parts, the four verses. And I want to look at this, because this has blessed me. David's got a longing in his heart. He's escaped Absalom. He's in exile because of Absalom's treachery. And we can read David's lament. How lovely your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Where did he want to be? Where he couldn't be. He had a deep desire, the intensity of this desire for the house of the Lord. You know, while in exile, having had to leave Jerusalem following Absalom's treason, 2 Samuel 15 tells us a story, but he goes on to consider those who continue to frequent the house of the Lord, but not him. How lovely are your dwelling places. My heart and my flesh, my whole being, cries out for the living God. I want to be in the courts of the Lord. I want to be in the house of my God. For even the sparrows are there. The sparrows have got access. The swallow can lay, make a nest in the holy place. Even the altars of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of armies, the place where King David wanted to be. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. There were those who still had access but not him, because he had to escape from Absalom. But his deep longing, you know, this passion, we've been singing it all evening, this passion, is this passion one that compels us to be in the house of the Lord? Is it our deep longing? Can't we wait to be here? Can't we wait to be in the presence of the Lord? Just to love him, to worship him, to know that he is our God, the creator of the universe, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, the one who rose victorious. You know, it's links to the same sentiment in Psalm 137, where the children of Israel are taken captive to Babylon. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked us a song. And those who plundered requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my hand forget how to wield the sword and shield. How can I sing the song of the Lord in a foreign land? The verse 5 to 8 says, blessed, happy, to be envied. David envied the man. Such men not only walk in these ways, but have them in their hearts. To be in the presence of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. You know, the way is not easy. The way to come into the presence of the Lord is not easy. It lays through the valley of weeping, the valley of Baca, the valley of privation, the valley of dryness, where there's no water. It's arid. It's painful. The desire for a drink in this valley is hard. And I've no doubt that some turn back. But the pilgrim will not turn back. Whatever the weather or the difficulty of the way, they will not stay at home or wait until things are more favourable. Having a heart for Jesus, of deep desire and determination, wherever you are, whatever our situation to be an encourager of the brethren, to be one who is determined to seek the Lord, to be one who is absolutely desirous to come into the house of God. What hinders you? What hinders us? Is there a desire to come? Is there a desire which grows as we pray before meetings? Is there a desire which wells up within us when we praise God, when we magnify his name? Is there that desire in our hearts? Or do we look back to former times? But David's saying, I can't go there. I can't go like some, like the birds of the air. I can't go. I can't fly. I can't be in the house of God. And he recognizes that it's a hard way to go through the valley of Baca. Yeah? Psalm 122 says, come and let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's go. Encourage one another. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us rise up. Let us go. For nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will quench the desire in my heart to be in the house of my God, loving Him, magnifying Him, exalting Him. Nothing else. Now the pilgrim can turn the most hostile of circumstances, sufferings, calamities, into a place of springs. But how? How do they make it a place of springs? In this arid place, how do they make it a place of springs? Now we sang this morning, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord." How does it go? "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall come with singing unto Zion." So how do they make it a place of springs? Let me take you back to the introduction. In my Bible, it says, "To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah." Now there's only three psalms that start like that, and that's Psalm 8, Psalm 81, and Psalm 84. And those three psalms are specifically directed to be played on the instrument of Gath. Well, that captured my interest. What is the instrument of Gath? I found something which was, well, it blessed me. I hope it blesses you. Because it talks about the time in 1 Samuel 27. Let's take you there a minute. 1 Samuel 27. Where David is trying to escape Samuel. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should go speedily and escape to the land of the Philistines, his arch enemies, and Saul will disappear from me, to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." Then David arose and went over with 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Himenon and Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. And so it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, "If I have found favor in your eyes, let then give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was one full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided the Jeshurites, the Gerizzites, and the Amalekites. For these nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep and the oxen and the donkeys and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. The net result was that Achish believed David, saying that he had made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. Because whilst David was attacking the cities of the Philistines, Achish thought he was attacking the cities of Israel and the towns of Israel. And he left nobody alive who could say anything different. And Achish thought, "He's on our side. He will be my servant." But getting back to the instrument, the instrument of Gath. Now, Gath was the Philistine stronghold during the time of David. And the giant Goliath and his brothers came from Gath. And during the 16-month period of exile from Israel, David spent that time in Gath. Some have thought that David was in a backslidden state during this time, not trusting God for protection and fleeing from Saul. But the scripture is clear that David was faithful to the Lord. An alternate suggestion has been made that while he was in Philistia, David was protecting the southern border of Israel from its enemies. King Saul's obsession with David had left the territory vulnerable from its real enemies. It's an interesting prospect that, in addition to protecting Israel, I believe David used the time to learn to play the instrument of Gath, the instrument of his enemy. Now, this is really fascinating stuff. Why would this warrior learn to play the instrument of his enemies? And why were specific instructions given in these psalms to be played on that instrument? David understood the connection between victory and praise. His conflicts were high stakes. His life was at stake, as well as the lives of his men. They were affected by his choices. For this warrior king, worship was a non-negotiable part of his existence and his survival. Psalm 119 says that 7 times a day he would intentionally praise God. David was at least as disciplined in worship as he was as a soldier. It was not just participating in warfare, it was the warfare. As he played the instrument of Gath. And Achish thought, oh, he's learning to play our instruments. He must be on our side. But that Psalm 137 said, we couldn't sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land. David was. David was playing the instrument of Gath in worshipping the Lord. I find that incredible. This writer goes on to say, I believe he understood how vital praise, thanksgiving and music were for accomplishing the Father's ultimate purpose of subduing the earth. He understood the battle was the Lord's. The King of Glory, strong and mighty in battle. Later when David became king over all Israel, he established the Tabernacle of David, a place of unbroken praise and worship and intercession, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for 33 years. You know, that, when I read that, that was an aside, but it blessed me. That David established praise on the earth for 33 years. Jesus came and showed us the Father for 33 years. Sometimes it's not coincidence, is it, brothers and sisters? You know, what we read in one part of Scripture is fulfilled in another part of Scripture. It was all about coming into the presence of God, knowing God. With 5,000 full-time musicians dedicated to releasing heaven's anthems upon earth in Israel, David had a revelation of his identity as a priest-king on the earth. He made wholehearted worship a priority of his reign. He pursued the heart of his Father God. He was a student of the Father's purposes and ways. Praise and thanksgiving. Worship was indispensable. So before he came to power, during this difficult season in Gath, he pressed into God, using the instrument of his foe. It was prophetic, foreshadowing. It was ahead of its time. And it was and is the way forward. God's adversities, God's adversaries, and their instruments turned into worship. Oh, that blessed me. That blessed me. You know, we might just be ordinary men and women. We might just be doing ordinary jobs. Just going into shops and doing our shopping. And for all intents and purposes, we look like ordinary men and women. But in our hearts are the songs of Zion. in the midst of where we go, if we've got a passion for the Lord Jesus, we can't stop singing. John said he woke up this morning singing, "The Lord was our cornerstone." You wake up in the middle of the night praising God. You think, "I've no idea how I got there. I was asleep 1 minute and I'm praising God the next." It's inseparable, you know. It's part of our DNA. We love the Lord Jesus. We can't help but praise Him. Wherever we are. You know, they looked on David and they thought, "Oh, what a lovely man. He's playing our instruments." What they didn't realize is that he was praising God. Gath means winepress. Now, where do we find that phrase somewhere else? In Judges 6, with Gideon. He was found by the angel in the winepress, grinding his corn. He was afraid. He was absolutely petrified. But he had to grind the corn. And I thought, Alan said to us this morning, if he hadn't ground the corn, how could the leaven have done its work? Because the angel said to him, "Thou mighty man of valor." He was doing his normal things, and God met him. We're doing our normal things in the wine press. You know, it might seem tough, it might seem hard, we're in the wine press. That's the place we've got to learn to praise God. David's 16 months in the wine press was his hiding. It was his exile. David released the anthems of heaven in this Gentile instrument. Can you imagine what this did in the hearts of the warriors of Israel as their mighty king began to play the Philistine instrument? No doubt it had a unique and easily distinguishable tone. When the sound broke the airwaves, it would have struck such a chord in these Israelite warriors' hearts in the unseen realm. The terror that would grip the hearts of the unseen forces of wickedness as they observed the sons of men begin to embrace their identity upon the earth and refuse to bow to the intimidation of those assigned to bring their destruction. The audacity of this act of worship on enemy instruments poses greater significance than we may really understand. It stands as a prophetic foreshadowing the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. So what do? It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring." Now that leapt out at me. They make it a spring. Not God makes it a spring. They make it a spring. How do they make it a spring? By using the instruments of the enemy. What is the enemy saying to you? Let's turn it round. Let's turn our anxieties around. Say our God is able. Let's turn our frustrations, our doubts, our fears, our anxieties, our shortcomings, our inadequacies to praise. And as we start to praise God, springs of water will flow. Pools will form. The rain of heaven will come upon us. The rain covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. Strength to strength. As we start praising, we start praising, we start praising, we grow stronger and stronger and stronger and more confident. Has our situation changed? No, but we know who's in charge of our situation. And as we start praising God, it gets a grip of us, as it did David's warriors. You can imagine it, can't you? Achish thought he was just playing the instruments of Gath. His warriors knew it was a war cry in heavenly realm. God inhabits the praises of His people. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, as we start to praise, as we refuse to be brought down, if we refuse to accept our circumstances and situations and turn to God in praise, God inhabits our praises. And power is released in the unseen realm. God is on our side. Now it goes on into verse 9. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And verse 9 to 12 takes us into what God is and will forever be to his people. Matthew Henry says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. We're here walking around in darkness, but if God be our God, he will be to us a sun, to enlighten and enliven us, to guide and direct us. We're here in danger, that he will be to us a shield, to secure us from the fiery darts that fly about us thickly. With his favour, he will compass us as a shield. Let us therefore always walk in the light of the Lord, and never throw ourselves out of his protection. And we shall find him a sun, to supply us with all good, and a shield to shelter us from all evil. This is what he does, and will bestow upon us. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace signifies both the good will of God towards us and the good work of God in us. Glory signifies both the honour which now puts us he now puts upon us in giving us the adoption of sons, and that which he has prepared for us in the inheritance of sons. He will give us grace in this world as a preparation for glory, and glory in the other world as a perfection of grace. Both are God's free gift to us. As we come, as we long for the courts of the Lord, as we go through that dry and arid valley of Baca, and as we make it a place of springs, as we refuse to accept what the enemy is saying to us, as we turn and magnify God, just as we did tonight, what a wonderful God we have. What a precious, precious name of Jesus. You know, that chorus really blesses me, that Hillsong chorus. I just love to listen to it. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name. What a beautiful name of Jesus. You know, do we have that deep desire to go and to be in the house of the Lord? Is it our pressing desire to pursue the Lord in the face of our enemy? Using his instruments as weapons in our spiritual warfare. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you, because they make it a spring. Hallelujah. What a beautiful name. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, the resource is enormous. Our strength is weak. Come, Lord. Anoint us afresh with your Holy Spirit and with power, that we may rise up to declare the greatness of our God. Give us songs in the night, Lord Jesus. Give us songs in the day. Let us be surprised what wells up within us. The songs of Zion. Lord Jesus, we are in a foreign land, and we will sing the songs of Zion, because we know you are our Redeemer. You are our God. You are our Saviour. And you're the one who loves us through and through. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. Help us that we may declare the greatness of our God. Lord, that we may have that pressing desire in our hearts that grows, and we don't know why or where it came from, but it grows, that will cause us to come and magnify your name, that you may inhabit the praises of your people and to put the enemy to flight. For our God is able. Amen. Amen.